5
4
3
2
1 Here we go.
Okay. Oh god.
You try the scream again. You know, just the scream, but this time don't hold back. Don't inhibit yourself, you know, just let go. Whenever you're ready.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode, Season 1, Episode 7, My Way. And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Are you ready to watch the making of a Scream Queen?
Yes.
Well, you have two other storylines to get through first, so let's get to them.
Oh my god. Well, the C-plot is... I should start a stopwatch.
The C-plot is three scenes. It's our C-plot. Doctors make the worst patients. Remember how Jane is pregnant? Well, the show did, eventually. And as Michael is moving furniture in their bedroom to see where they could fit a crib, he hurts his ankle and immediately starts refusing all of Jane's attempts to help him, including taking him to the ER, but she overrules him.
If I may interrupt.
Please.
This is one of like 17 different instances of only on TV do people act like this. Mm-hmm. Starting with like he twists his ankle, he's yelling in pain, and then immediately they go to the emergency room. Like, maybe I just twist my ankle a lot. I mean, no maybe about it. I am very clumsy and I'm always getting like minor injuries like this. But like maybe put a bag of frozen peas on it and give it a second.
Yeah.
Also, you're a doctor. Also, this is all totally out of whatever. Oh, and yeah, finally.
That's the dumbest part, that there isn't any dialogue where he's like, I know it's not broken. It's not a big deal. Like,
yeah.
There's no exposition to that effect. So whatever. Like I said, 500 scenes later, Jane gets home from work to see that Michael's been making dinner on one foot because he doesn't want Jane to put any extra strain on herself, like dinner making.
There's a picture in the visual aids. First of all, of their bedroom, which has this really weird like Liberace sconce in it, because that's normal in a one bedroom on Melrose. And also she like turns to the side at one point in the scene, and in show time she has to be showing by now. She is not.
Maybe.
At all.
No, she's not, but it's not clear how much time has passed. I mean, presumably she was like 3 months along then. This still could be in the fourth month.
Well, but she's wearing like a spandex midi.
Right.
That's skin tight. Like, you know, maybe not in the paper bag jeans. But
right.
Yeah. Like don't shoot her from that angle if you want us to believe that she needs to stay off her feet because she's pregnant.
Right. So she goes to change. Michael tries to hop the stew pot over to the table, but drops it and then sets the tea towel on fire. Jane helps, but it's a mess. And she goes to get McDonald's. So win, in my opinion.
Agree.
Sometime later, Michael's on the couch with his foot up, blathering about how much work it took for them to develop the level of comfort and understanding that they have with one another, and now that's going to be shattered when there's a third person in the family. Jane thinks their comfort with each other will change, not be destroyed. Michael is worried he won't know who his child is, but Jane assures him everything will be fine. This, like, these moments where it's like, oh, wow, this show really was like this back then.
Yeah.
Like, so earnest. Ugh.
Yeah. And so mistaken as to how verite we want this to be. Like, we're going to tackle the real issues facing 20. So, like, no one wants to watch that shit.
Mm-mm.
I have a car payment. Guitar.
Right.
Like,
Anyway, moving on to our B plot. Allison gets her first exposure to the rest of the Campbells. Allison is fussily washing dishes when Billy comes out of his room, apparently late, having had a dark night of the soul and gone out wandering the streets. Oh, comes in from outside, I guess. Allison goes chasing after him to bitch about all the mugs he uses, but he cuts her off by saying the paper went under and his column went with it. Dough. I had to come up with two ideas. And then I went after. So Billy killed this newspaper. Got it.
I was just going to say, was that cause or effect? Interesting. Okay. Right.
So I will say, though, depressed shirtless Billy is not offensive to my eye. And you can see a beefcake photo in the visual aids because I couldn't. Allison is sad for Billy and an idiot in clip two.
I don't understand. How does a free paper go out of business?
Lack of advertising?
I mean, Allison, you're trying to move up in the field of advertising.
Oh,
how do you not know this? Like, when Billy is schooling you about any industry, you really have gone astray in life.
Yeah.
Anyway, he then notices that the place looks different, apparently because she got up and cleaned. Oh, Allison. It also seems he wrote notes for a new short story on a cocktail napkin, and she had the audacity to throw it out. Cue Billy's very sexy whining, JK, unsexy whining, as a predictable and boring roommate fight ensues. And Allison rightly storms out of the conversation just as the phone rings, but it's not for her. It's Billy's mother, reminding him about a trip to Palm Springs for his dad's birthday. And they are also expecting Allison, and Billy gops for 10 minutes because hijinks are about to ensue. So then stupid Billy has to go bother Allison at work with some shitty apology carnations so that he can...
filler flower.
Oh my God, so cheap. So he can get her to go to Palm Springs with him and save face with his parents. And when we see them next... it's the following day, and Billy is debriefing Allison, the doormat, about what she's on her way into because the shithead is Billy the shithead has waited until they're walking into the condo to say that his sisters no longer speak to their dad. So it's just going to be Billy and Allison. And of course, he deliberately withheld this information so that Allison wouldn't refuse to come. Ugh, so bad. One more thing. Billy told his parents Allison is his girlfriend. It's so early in the run of this show to do the fake girlfriend boyfriend thing, by the way.
Yeah, like, which, again, only on TV. Literally nobody has ever done this for any reason. Well, yeah. Okay, that's not true, but Jesus Christ.
I mean, I will say, okay, we'll get to it. In the kitchen, Billy's parents are both way too excited about this fake relationship, which apparently bloomed when Billy met Allison at her fake job at clip three.
The literary agency?
Yes, well, you read Billy's script. Isn't that how you first met?
Oh, the literary agency. Would you excuse us for just a sec?
Only on TV do people... I mean, actually, Billy Sr. does pull a face where he's like, okay, weirdo. But it's like, only on TV are people like, sure, no excuse necessary. This isn't suspicious at all. You're totally not going out to confer on your story. Like, come on, TV people.
Yeah. Learn to spot a lie, especially one as clumsy as this. Jesus. So Allison drags Billy outside to yell at him and then threaten to tell his parents the truth, which she could have done without going outside at all, by the way. Mm. Billy then just wins her back over with his sad Valley Boy backstory in clip four.
Last year, my dad's birthday, he asked me to be a partner in Campbell & Sons, the family furniture store. And it was a really big deal, and I turned him down. He was devastated. We didn't talk for weeks. So I made him this deal that I would try writing for a year, and if it didn't work out, I would give the family business equal time, 1 year.
What do I have to do with any of this?
Well, I just thought that our relationship might, you know, take his mind off things. And making you an agent's assistant actually gives me credibility.
Hey, maybe Billy, if you'd worked this hard on your writing, you wouldn't be in this predicament now. Also, the reasonable follow-up for Allison is, hey, why don't your sisters talk to your dad anymore? Because, like, that's really relevant. And if there's some kind of nefariousness going on, like, it's just such a weird detail to give and then not offer an explanation of, like, how they fell out with the dad.
Yeah, especially... I mean, rewatching this, like anything like that about a dad, it's like, So it was the old daddy stopped touching me. Got it.
Right. But then they just make him like, you know, a kind of overbearing bossy dad, but basically a sweetie. So like, what is the sister's problem? We never find out.
Yeah.
At least not in this episode.
That he refused to consider making it Campbell and Daughters and cut them in, which good for you two.
Seriously. Anyway, Allison thinks that she and Billy should both leave, but he whines at her some more and she relents because she's a doormat. And after a commercial, we get to find out exactly how petit bourgeois the senior Campbells actually are in clip 5.
Billy's mother has a real talent. Most people go out to eat important dinners, but we stay in.
I have a gift for sauces. I also enjoy making an occasional special event dessert.
What are you, a contestant on Jeopardy? Nobody cares.
I have a gift for sauces. Who fucking talks like that?
Ew.
God. Also, this actress, like, obviously got her teeth capped in an earlier era when teeth capping was real weird because they are some huge fucking chompers.
Yeah.
You can see those in the visual aids as well, of course. Talk of Mrs. Campbell's talent for cooking leads Mr. Campbell into musing about where talent comes from and how it comes through the genes. Billy jokes that he hopes it doesn't, but Mr. Campbell meant that Billy's absent sister Stephanie inherited her mother's talent for sauces. Soon enough, he segues to Billy's talent, or lack thereof, to ask Allison how long she thinks it will take Billy to make it as a writer. Allison brightly says Billy just needs his one big break, and Mr. Campbell's like, but seriously, years? And Billy doesn't think they need to talk about this now, and Mrs. Campbell quietly agrees and asks Mr. Campbell to drop it. But after dinner, Billy finds his dad alone outside smoking a cigar and gently tries to harangue him into admitting that Billy is a disappointment. But Mr. Campbell doesn't think that. He just wishes Billy would give him and the business a chance, since it would give Billy a lot of security. I mean, check back in with writers and independently family-owned furniture store employees in 30 years, and they'll probably be about even in terms of stability, IMO. But Mr. Campbell thinks it's time Billy started thinking about his future and quit indulging himself. Mr. Campbell also hasn't forgotten the deal they made, and Billy starts crying like, oh no, someone's going to pay me to work in an air-conditioned store all day instead of scribbling on cocktail napkins for $0. But he decides to quit being a baby and accept his father's terms. And my reaction to this storyline is so like, oh God, I really am old, because that was totally what I thought. Like, take the job. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, really.
Ugh. Anyway. It's not so bad. Like, it's not like he works in a factory. It's a
yeah.
store.
Well, and also, is your dad offering health insurance? Then shut the fuck up. Just
honest.
Put on
God.
Your 8-bedroom jacket and go to work. Shut up. Fucking baby.
Yeah, I agree. So Billy then goes to make the bed on the pullout couch while Mrs. Campbell tells Allison that both Billy's sisters lived with dudes before they got married, so Allison shouldn't worry about sharing a bed with Billy tonight. Allison tries half-heartedly to imply that she'd like other accommodations, but Mrs. Campbell isn't trying to hear it. And when she leaves, Billy promises Allison that her virtue is safe. And then she gets pissed off that he isn't helpless with lust for her, and then pouts in clip 6.
I can't believe this is happening. This is my worst nightmare.
Really? This is not so bad.
Yeah. Also, I don't believe you. I believe yeah. this is your spank bankmare.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, all the most uncomfortable conversations are happening away from you. Like, this is fine. In terms of even social awkwardness, it's like not very high on the scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, no.
Allison then further threatens to tell his parents the truth tomorrow, and Billy turns it back on her for apparently sucking as a career beard with them earlier and not defending him more. She doesn't know what she was supposed to say, and truly, Billy barely briefed her at all before this assignment. It's like a 5-hour, no, it's like a 3-hour drive to Palm Springs. It's far. They could have gone over all of this in the car yeah, if he was
long
this
enough to role play it, for sure.
For sure. He was lazy. This is his fault. Allison wants to know why Billy can't just tell his dad the truth, and the plinky electric keyboard starts up as Billy says he doesn't want to break his father's heart. So, back home, slicked hair Billy, do not approve, is getting ready for work at the store by putting on a tie, as his dad requires of his salesman. Allison blahs about why he's doing this as if he hasn't very clearly stated why already. In her opinion, this is the kind of thing that destroys relationships, which, given where even I remember her storyline is going to go, is pretty rich. Mm-hmm. But Billy says he and his dad made a deal and he's honoring it, which, you know what? True. Like, you did and you are. Like, just get on with it. Mr. Campbell's always been there for Billy and wants what's best for him. And then Billy muses, clip 7.
I mean, what would you do if it was your dad?
I guess we've had different experiences.
It's funny, you know, they either don't love you enough or they love you too much.
It's not the writer's fault, but oh, gee, no. I love that she's just standing there sort of like, that could be a point of view. Like, yep. She knows, but the writers don't on some level. It's just weird.
Yes. It's weird. Yeah, I agree. I don't think that this was roughed in as part of her backstory at this stage at all. And yet somehow it's still there. It's funny.
Yeah. Funny, but peculiar, obviously.
Well, yes. Anyway, she wishes him luck. And then we're with Billy at the store where he is hard selling a chintz couch, claiming he has it all over his apartment. When the female half of the shopping couple says she doesn't know if it goes with country pine, it's like, seriously, chintz and country pine? It's fine.
Yeah.
Billy says you can't go wrong with chintz, which in this couple's particular case is true. And when he adds, trust me, Mr. Campbell eavesdrops approvingly. So this couple wants to look at some other swatches. And when Billy runs off to get them, Mr. Campbell follows to tell him he's doing great. Billy laughs that he's lying, like, A, yes, and B, you actually seem good at it, so quit fighting your one talent, dummy. This is the one thing we've seen you do well. Mr. Campbell passionately tells Billy that he has the gift for sales. It's in the jeans, and I know I'm supposed to hate this dude, but he actually seems right. He then points out a couple of guys who've been working for him for 25 years and would kill to have Billy's natural sales ability, and Billy makes a pretty funny dyspeptic face that you can see in the visual aids. But it just pisses off Mr. Campbell, who thinks Billy is acting like selling furniture isn't as respectable as any other job. And again, I'm with this guy. He is right. He's right. Also, it's only for a year. Like, a year is not that long. You can still write in your copious free time. This is a 9-to-5 job. God. Anyway, Billy comes home that night demoralized. And the next day, his customer is Jerry Seinfeld's mom from Seinfeld. Hey, Helen.
Yeah.
She finds the couch she's on too spongy. Her Golden Girls outfit is beyond fabulous, by the way, when we see it like from her top of her head to like mid-thigh. And she sees right through Mr. Campbell's business model. Clip 8.
Well, for the price, it's the best fiberfill construction on the market.
I've seen similar much cheaper.
Well, it's doubtful. We have the best prices in L.A.
On sale? Everything in the store is on sale.
We have sale prices every day.
Oh, that's a crock. All you do is mark up the retail and then call a regular price a sale price. I know a scam when I see one.
No, we have genuine discount prices.
Oh, please, you're such a salesman. You'd say anything to get me to walk out of here with a couch.
To tell you the truth, I'd be just as happy if you just walk out of here right now.
What did you say?
Can I help you, madam? My name is William Campbell. I'm the owner of this store.
Well, then I guess you should know that you've got some very rude salespeople working for you.
Well, I would really like to rectify the situation if I can.
No, I really don't have the time right now.
You know what people don't say enough of now? Crock. Mm. It's such a great word.
Yeah. Yes. So she flounces out with her sunglasses like a queen. Love her. And because Andrew Hsu is, as we may have mentioned once or twice, not a gifted actor, it's not clear if this response is because he's trying to like tank this job with his dad and like force his dad into firing him. But this is what he says. Clip 9.
What a bitch.
Yikes. It's really excessive and really has a lot of rancor behind it for given what the situation is. Wow.
Unless he's trying, like you say, to get his dad to overhear him and fire him.
No, he says it to his dad. Like his dad is who he's talking to.
Oh, okay. Right. So yeah, maybe he is trying to tank it, but like you said, hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Campbell has to tell Billy that dealing with difficult personalities is part of the job and that he needs to go after her and apologize. Billy refuses and begs his dad to see he's not cut out for this job. Mr. Campbell doesn't know how Billy will have the discipline to make it as a writer if he lacks the discipline to spend 1 week working at the store, which, again, he's right.
Yeah. Billy love thinks- your nanas on the podcast. You know, suck it up.
Yeah. Billy thinks that might be something he has to discover for himself. He's sorry, but this was a bad idea and he can't do it. So then he goes from the store to Allison's office to demand some free emotional support. She doesn't think it's Billy's job to make his father happy and reminds him when he says he couldn't work in the store that she never thought that he could. So Billy goes back to the store after hours to tell his dad he has to start doing things his own way because it's his life and his life is not going to be about furniture. And isn't it enough for Billy to love Mr. Campbell without being him too? Yeah. Mr. Campbell just wanted Billy to have the same thrill taking over the store that Mr. Campbell did when his dad gave it to him. Billy always thought Campbell and Sons was kind of morbid since his grandfather died, but Mr. Campbell left it for Billy. Duh. Like, really? Are you this dumb? I mean, it's Billy, so yes, but yikes. So they hug, but not before Mr. Campbell pre-guilts Billy about all the money he's going to be out for a new sign and business cards when he has to rename the business. But otherwise, that was sweet. And I love how his dad calls him Bill instead of Billy. I really thought that was cute. That was a cute detail.
I also thought that was cute.
So Billy comes home to report on things to Allison and to thank her. She hopes he also cleared up his lies about their relationship, but Billy says he can just tell them when they all go away on a houseboat in Lake Powell this summer. Hardy har har. Ugh. Maybe Billy's sisters don't hang out with him anymore because all of their vacation ideas are terrible.
Yeah. Or because he keeps bringing home like strangers and saying it's his girlfriend. Where'd you find this one? Craigslist.
In 5 years. When Craigslist is invented. Cough.
What a bitch.
Thank you, Dave. I had a feeling that was going to make it to the permanent soundboard. On to the promised A-plot about Scream Queen Sandy, in which a tiny amount of success goes directly to Sandy's head. So let's just start here, clip 10.
My God, who are you? What do you want? Stay away, don't come near me. Please?
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than Andrew Hsu would have done with it, but yeah. It's not great.
No, it's not. But, you know, we're about to learn that all she really needs to do for this part is look good, and she does. Mm-hmm. Other than all the indicating when she puts her hand to her forehead and swoons. Oh, buddy. So this is an audition. Fine is perhaps generous. Sandy offers to do a scene on page 41, but we find out it's been cut, and the director mainly wants Sandy to do the scream again, so scream she does. And at Shooters that night, Sandy is tense, waiting to hear if she got the part. Rhonda briefly fakes her out, but then says there was a message on the machine, and Sandy has booked it. Okay. The next day, Rhonda's listening to music for her class, and Sandy's being a pill about it because she has to study her script, which contains, for her, 8 lines and 3 screams. She fishes that she knows it doesn't sound like much, and Rhonda duly says it's a start, which basically just flips Sandy's delusional switch in clip 11.
Yeah, I was thinking about the other day, maybe one day I'll look back on this and think that this little part was the one thing that got my career going.
Well, I hope you're right.
Then I'll be able to live out my secret fantasy.
Which is?
To go to my high school reunion. Famous.
God, Sandy, I think everybody has that little fantasy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, wait. I'm expecting a call from the production office. They're going to send some new pages over.
Well, we've got call waiting.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't answer the other line quick enough and the other person hangs up.
I think I can handle it.
I guess I'll just have to get my own line.
Fine, I'll make my call later.
Rhonda, everything's happening so fast. You've just got to stick by me here.
Yeah, well, I hope you remember that when you're accepting your Academy Award.
Oh, Rhonda, you are a good friend.
Yeah.
So Rhonda later walks in on Sandy getting ready to go to a party in the Hollywood Hills in Rhonda's dress, which she has borrowed without asking.
Again, Sandy proms- only on TV do roommates' clothes always fit each other this yeah. well. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I would buy that at least they would both be thin if one is an actor and one teaches aerobics, basically. Mm-hmm. But Rhonda's a lot taller than Sandy, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway. Then the producer's at the door 10 minutes early when Sandy's not even ready yet. Rhonda makes her go answer the door herself, and it's not the producer. It's all their neighbors with balloons and the makings of a party. Sandy says she has a date on his way, so she'll have to go. And also, they'll have to get rid of the celebration so this dude doesn't think her booking the part is an aberration in her career. And the score has some thoughts about it. Clip 12.
I'll just help you, you know, get these balloons out of here. I really feel bad about this, but...
God, Sandy, just leave them.
Okay. Why is everyone acting like this?
I don't get that either. Like, Rhonda is looking at her in complete horror. Like, Sandy had plans. You surprised her. This is a risk you run when you surprise. Celebrate another time. It's fucking cake. It'll keep. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And why do they all have to get out? Like, the producer is not coming in for a house inspection.
No.
To, like, are there any parties here? There are. You're fired. Like, what? Who cares? She's not stabbing the balloons with a knife. Everybody bring it down 28 notches. I understand that you're struggling to make this interesting, but no effort will succeed.
No, it's
move
true.
On.
So Sandy feels bad and shrugs that she will go meet her date outside. And later, a drunk Sandy staggers home, drunk, real drunk, and gets scolded by Jake, improbably, for her lateness. She can't stop loudly bragging about how amazing this Hollywood party was, and then shows us she's an emotional drunk in clip 13.
You never really believed I'd make it, did you?
I never said that.
Shh. Don't lie, I know what you thought.
Well, let me tell you what I'm thinking right now. What do you say we go for a little midnight swim? Hmm?
You had your chance, Jake. Mm. You had your chance.
You don't have enough material. Just make your stupid, boring, shitty show half an hour. Like, you can sort of hear that she's like, for like 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
walking away. And then the guitar is like, I'm supposed to think this is super intense, but it isn't. Like, oh, God.
Right. Also, oh, where we drag. Left these two, she was gawping at Allison's reveal that she and Jake had kissed during their whole GED prep storyline. So, like, I don't buy that, especially when drunk, Sandy's move would be, no, I will not fuck you. Like, maybe this was their workaround so that Jake wouldn't be seen as taking advantage of her when she's compromised. But I also don't know how much that would come up at this stage in our history as a culture where, like, that would even be a concern. You know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't worry about Jake looking rapey if, like, they had a history or blah, 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 blah. Like, I just don't buy that this would be her way of punishing him to not have sex with him.
Yeah. No, me neither.
But that's what happens. So the next day, Sandy is making a very resentful Rhonda run her 8 lines with her in clip 14.
Stay away. Don't come near me.
To make you feel the torment of the damned, the way you've tormented others.
The way you've tormented others? It's not in the script.
Sorry, I got carried away.
Oh, first day of shooting and my stomach's just turning into somersaults. How do I look?
Like you're primed to be killed. Actually, I think you're going to make a wonderful bloody corpse. After all, red's your best color, right?
Rhonda, what's up with you? Ever since I landed this part, you've been nothing but bitchy.
Yeah, well, you've got a swelled head.
I don't need this right now. I'm shooting in an hour.
Look at you. Man, you've changed just like that.
I gotta find my purse.
One funky little slasher movie and you throw your friends away like a wad of used toilet paper.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. Everybody in this building's noticed it, Sandy, and everybody's hurt.
Yeah, well, you know what I think? I think everybody's just a little bit selfish. They just can't stand seeing somebody making their dreams happen, especially when nothing's happening for them.
I mean, this seems harsh, but we did just see Jane's designs like 2 episodes ago, and they were bad. So,
yeah. Also, Locaine, ask for another take. And after you've done that, ask for another one. and then asked for another one because that was some like spring play high school understudy trying to remember her lines breathlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, everyone's noticed. Why yeah. Everyone get Cable, please.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So Sandy immediately realizes she's gone too far and tries to backpedal, saying she needs her friends right now. But Rhonda says she's supporting Sandy, but won't be her doormat. I mean, that's Allison's job. The fight then escalates to them deciding they won't be friends or roommates. And Sandy saying she'll be the one to move out and move up. And then Sandy, as she shoots her bad movie and is bad in it, although good at screaming, admittedly, the female director that we met before wants Sandy to take it again, except now she wants the murderer to use his knife to cut open Sandy's top. Oh, who could have seen this coming except everyone? Yeah. Sandy tries to get out of it on all the grounds you'd expect, starting with that it's not in her contract, which legit, I believe, in a real production, that's something that has to be specifically spelled out. But this is probably non-equity, non-SAG, non-legal. But anyway, the director just tells Sandy if she doesn't want to do it, they'll recast her role because Sandy is extremely replaceable. And when Sandy doesn't explicitly refuse, they proceed. The next day, Rhonda comes home to find Sandy packing as threatened. Sandy claims she needed to move out anyway for more space and heard from someone on set about a great deal on a guest house in the hills. To Rhonda's question, she lies that shooting was great and quickly leaves with a couple of boxes. And is crying her way out of the complex when Jake sees her. She tries to leave without discussing anything, but he's not having it in clip 15.
Hey.
Get your hand off me.
Hey.
Really, Dick?
Yeah.
What is with these shows and people just being grabby?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want you to talk to me. She doesn't want to, Brandon.
Honestly.
Ugh.
It's a total Brandon move. So yeah. Good catch on that clip. Because
only reason I pulled that clip that it's like, Jake, I want to like you, but no.
Yeah. The He-Man shit is not cute. Mm-mm. But Jake demands an explanation and that is his right as a man, I guess. Sandy says she needs a new start somewhere else, which she's going to get it soon. Spoiler. Jake incorrectly guesses that she's moving up so fast. She's leaving her friends in the dust, but she tells him the truth. At first, she thought it was fine for her character to show her boobs, but then she couldn't in clip 16.
I just couldn't let myself be exploited.
So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, but I exploit myself every day. With what I say, how I move. I mean, I've been doing it for so well, so long. I don't know when the act ends and when I begin.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
Do you? Maybe that's why I became an actress. The only time I have any real feelings is when I'm making pretend I'm somebody else. I just need a new act.
Or maybe just be yourself.
Jake, to be honest, I don't have the slightest idea who that person is.
I mean, not that it's
supposed to be someone with a southern accent. Hot tip for you, T-neck.
Yeah, but also, like, I don't know why he plays along with this. I mean, it's Jake. Like, he's not supposed to be that nuanced in his thinking, I suppose. But, like, when she's saying, I exploit myself all the time, like, it's different what they ask you to do on a set. Like, everyone should know this. I don't get why he plays along with all of her self-victim blaming. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. And also, like, that's a very big trunk that she just threw open and started unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, as a waitress, as a, you know, someone who is sort of positioning herself as the Jezebel of the cast or of the complex. Yeah. Do I think that was intentional or was going to go any deeper than that? No.
Mm-mm.
But it's like, I mean, that sort of heavy irony of making this person from New Jersey, who is not in control of her craft, a Southern aspiring actress, and then just having her struggle with this, which, like, sure, that's a legit thing to struggle with. But
for sure,
her acting when she's not being an actor is so bad that it's like, I mean, it's just very Moebius-y and difficult, and she'll be gone soon, so who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. So Jake tries to get her to stay by calling her a chicken, basically. So then Rhonda's doing crunches in the living room when Sandy comes back to explain why she's not moving out after all, if Rhonda will still have her. And they talk through all their shit with Sandy admitting the truth to Rhonda as well and them eating cake together. And that's the end. Hooray. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Mr. Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems fine. I assume he's not, you know, a bad toucher.
Right.
With Billy's sisters. And he was trying to help Billy and give him some sensible advice and options for living in an expensive city in his early 20s.
Yep. I'm going to say the editor of the free weekly that Billy was writing for telling him that it folded, even though it probably didn't actually, and trusting that Billy would never investigate because he's real dumb.
They just moved down the block and became the Beverly Beach. Yep. And now they're fine.
Least valuable player.
Stay away. Don't come near me.
Yeah. Sandy's acting coach, because
Sandy's acting coach, we know it's canon, is Charles Nelson Reilly. She took his class, so that's really showing.
Sorry, girl.
That's a fair choice, but I'm still gonna say Billy, not just for being a fucking crybaby about this free job he was handed, but also if you're going to dragoon your roommate into your crazy ass scheme, like, bring her all the way up to speed and give her a chance to get in on it. Because if she'd known the whole story, she probably would have gone along with it anyway. Like, she went along with it with the little that she did know because she's a doormat. Just give her all the tools she needs to sell this lie.
To continue Come doormatting.
On. Exactly. Let's do the SAMP 20181 challenge, five ways the aforementioned Allison shows she's really an 80-year-old woman in a 20-something body. I'll start. The outfit that she wears to Palm Springs is pure Shady Pines.
Like, mumsy.
Real mumsy. It's very Chico's. It's a Chico's kind of day for Allison.
It sure is. Bitching about how many mugs Billy's using. Like, just don't wash them then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't you just rinse it out? Well, it got cold, and then there's a ring, and also everyone has a million mugs. Just don't wash them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She seems mollified by carnations, the shittiest flower that only an old lady would appreciate.
She's mad that he left his, like, crappy notes around and passive-aggressively threw them away. That's a Nana move.
And she doesn't understand how free weeklies work. So that makes five.
That works. Next time on Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition, the gang gathers to mourn Dr. Martin's death and to blame Gina for it. Fed up at last, she decides to split town, but will Dylan go with her? And could the Rube Goldbergian machinations designed to put Donna and David back together again start, you know, machinating already? You'll want to be medicating with some Maalox when you get a load of our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those at the website, againwiththispodcast.com. Or get the highlights on Twitter. That's at AWT90210. And Again With This, Patreon supporters get extra content, so if your pod mania is out of control, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/againwiththis. It was only a cat, and I should know. I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Wilhelm Scream, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Backwoods Mutant, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time. That's your line.
Every time.
Oh, I forgot about it.
Oh, that's a crock.